And amen. You know, again, we're going to be having a Christmas message this morning, but I also wanted to go over a couple more items that are coming up this week. First of all, on Tuesday night, we're going to have a kids program, basically, called Doe Holy Night. We're actually going to be doing it from our homes and being able to work on the, let's see, yeah. sorry about that. We're going to be baking some cookies together, actually, from our homes. It's a video presentation that also includes the gospel message and the nativity scene. And so I would encourage you to, if you have kids at home that you want to come together, if you just like cookies, that you'll join with us again. And so later today, it'll be a link on our website, coltonchurch.com, and I invite you to that. Nextly, would be on Thursday, which is Christmas Eve this week, and to let you know that we're going to have a Christmas Eve service as well. However you found us today, you'll be able to find us again on December 24. Now, that'll be at 5 p.m., and it's earlier than most times because we know that families have their own Christmas Eve programs, things that they're doing as a family, and so we don't want to interrupt that. But at 5 p.m., we'll have a one-hour-long Christmas Eve service, so from 5 to 6. And I encourage you to join with us there. And again, we need to remember that we're coming upon the Christmas day here in this year of 2020. How has 2020 been going for you? It's been quite a year, hasn't it? Global pandemic, economic recession, unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial tension, record wildfires and floods. On top of this, many of us this year are struggling with depression and grief and fear, a sense of hopelessness. In fact, do any of these images represent your feelings today? If 2020 was a water slide, it might look something like this. If 2020 was a car, it might look like this. If 2020 was a pinata, instead of a pinata, we might be hitting a wasp nest. And if 2020 was a hula hoop, well, you wouldn't want a hula hoop with that either. But 2020 has an interesting time. In fact, a friend recently reminded me that hindsight is 2020, and I, for one, will be glad when 2020 is in my rearview mirror, quite honestly. And I'm not alone, apparently. According to a recent survey, 75% of Americans report the constant stream of bad news has taken a tremendous toll on their lives. In fact, not surprisingly, 80% are desperate to be cheered up. If ever there's a year we need the hope of Christmas, this is it, right? I believe that because of this pandemic, many around the world need a shot of hope like never before. We need something to turn our attention to, and some of us see that hope materialize in the form of Christian and Christmas celebration. And at a time when we need Christmas the most, officials all over the world have been discussing severely limiting gathering at Christmas time. Here in California, for instance, the governor has initiated a new statewide lockdown, which, by design or not, runs right through and past Christmas Day next week. Now, this has concerned many people, for we have lots of traditions we like to follow at this time of year. For instance, what will Christmas feel like this next week without large family gatherings, hugs and kisses from our loved ones, and all-you-can-eat buffets of turkey and ham, potatoes, dressing, and let's not forget dessert. While even the severest of restrictions cannot cancel out Christmas entirely, it got me thinking, what if Christmas were not able to come? And you think, well, come on, Pastor, do you really think that's possible for Christmas not to come? My answer is simply this. Yes, I think it is very possible. In fact, it happens every year. Now, I'm not saying that December 25 will not come. It will come this year just like it has every year for 2,000 years. Every year we've seen signs of Christmas coming earlier and earlier. But this year, I think Christmas decorations have come up faster. Christmas decorations in the stores went up well before Thanksgiving was over, and I know of many, including myself, who feel that this is the earliest we've ever put up Christmas trees and Christmas decorations. all because we needed some sense of hope during this weird time of darkness and seeming hopelessness at times. I've noticed that Santa started making his appearance in the malls earlier than usual, even if it was behind plexiglass and a face shield. And of course, we're still encouraged to buy things we can't afford with money we don't have to give to people we're not even sure we like. And as the day approaches next week, even with travel restrictions and lockdowns, many will try to find a way to get over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. And for those who can't get there physically, well, we will still be there, if only in our dreams. So there's no danger of Christmas being banished this year. But will Christmas really come again this year? See, there are several things that have to happen before Christmas really does come into our hearts and into our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 4:19, which reads, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." Now, I realize that that verse is not usually considered a Christmas text. But then again, I think you also agree with me that none of us have experienced a Christmas quite like this before either. Listen to what Paul is saying. We often talk about being born again when we become Christians. But may I suggest today that Christmas is also a good time to remind us of our need for Jesus to be born again. Born again in our lives, in our families, in our relationships. And that's what the Apostle Paul is hoping for here, that Christ will be manifest in our hearts and in our lives for each and every one of us. See, contrary to public opinion, our greatest need this Christmas is not to continue our grand Christmas traditions that we always have. No, our greatest needs this Christmas is to have Jesus living within us, to show us how to accept and forgive each other, to get rid of the tensions that divide us, to overcome our fears and our prejudices. But way too often and for way too many, when Christmas is over, we're no different than we were the day before. When you read the Christmas accounts in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, you read about Mary and Joseph making their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You read about crowds and people who have to come pay their taxes. Luke's version takes us through the whole narrative of shepherds and angels and Jesus being born and then being wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger. But he adds something we could easily miss if we're not careful. And I think he adds it because he knows someone's going to ask, well, why was he born in a stable? And almost as an afterthought, Luke says, because there was no room in the inn. Luke doesn't condemn the innkeepers. He doesn't say they were bad or they were good. He doesn't say they were right or they were wrong. He just leaves it right there. There was no room in the inn. But forever, this crowded inn that shut out Jesus stands as a symbol of crowded, cluttered lives that still have no room for him today. It's not that we're bad people, it's just that we're busy people. Our schedules are so full. But if you don't have time for him, then your schedules are just too cluttered. You need to allot some quiet time to be still and to acknowledge that he is still God. Before Christmas really comes for us, we must acknowledge that he is God and then desire for him to come into our lives. But that's really not what we look for, is it? We want his blessings. We're just not sure we want his cross. We want his forgiveness, but not his judgment. We want his salvation, but I'm not so sure we really want to serve. We want a savior, but I'm not sure we want a Lord to direct what we do. I believe that even during this horrific pandemic, God is breaking us. He's turning us into the very people that he's designed us to be. I've heard so many say they're not going to celebrate Christmas this year, especially with the isolation and restrictions that people are grappling with. Pandemics have caused so much disruption, sickness, and yes, even death. But I can tell you this morning, Christmas was never about feeling. We like to shout it up year after year that Jesus is the reason for the season. But I can't help but wonder, do we really mean it? If Jesus really is the reason for the season, for example, why are we so afraid? If Jesus really is the reason for the season, why don't we want to celebrate this year? If Jesus really is the reason for the season, why aren't we thankful he spared our lives for this season? Matthew Henry, you may not know of him, but I can guarantee almost every single pastor I know has a Matthew Henry commentary somewhere in his library. Well, Matthew Henry, long ago, was robbed. All of his money had been taken. What in the world could he possibly be thankful for? But he wrote this in his diary that day. Let me be thankful that I have never been robbed before. Although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Let me be thankful that although they took everything I had, it wasn't that much. Let me be thankful that it was I that was robbed and not the one who did the robbing. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Think about it. What if Christmas had never come? Let's briefly look at five major things that humanity would have lost if Christmas had never come. First, without Christmas, humanity would never have gotten to experience the miracles of the New Testament. Without Christmas, the 12 apostles would just remain ordinary men. There would have been no Paul. Saul would have been known as nothing more than a notable Pharisee in his day. The paralytic man would not have gotten off his mat. The demon-possessed man would have been doomed to roam among the tombs and cut himself for the rest of his life. The man born blind would never have seen the beauty of creation. The 10 lepers would never have been cleansed and allowed to return to their families. The 38-year-old invalid would have spent the rest of his life sitting at the edge of the pool at Bethesda. Lazarus and Jairus' daughter would not have been raised from the dead. Without the true stories of Jesus walking on water, commanding the seas to be calm, casting out demons, the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000, we would be poorer for not having firsthand experience of his supremacy, not over just our bodies, but all things seen and unseen. And above all, would not our hope be substantially less if Jesus never became fully human, along with being fully God? Yes, without the miracles of Christmas, we would not have near the hope we have today. Second, if Christ had not come to earth, he would not have sent his comforter to live inside of us. Imagine for a moment what it'd be like to live in a fallen world of persecution, injustice, insufferable tribulations without our comforter that he has sent us. Without receiving the Holy Spirit, who would teach and guide us towards staying on the narrow path? How much more difficult would it be to convince the world of God's existence and love if there was no Holy Spirit? Without receiving the Spirit, would it be possible to overcome the desires of the flesh? The desires of hatred, jealousy, sexual immorality, selfish ambitions, and to embrace instead a life of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the very gifts of the Holy Spirit. Without receiving the Spirit, how would we truly know that we're going to heaven? How could we do God's work without having received the gifting to do so? And without receiving the Spirit, who would intercede in our weaknesses to make the words of our prayers to become a sweet aroma upon God? Yes, there had been no Christmas, we would be quite depressed, for without receiving the Spirit, our struggle to know and please a holy God would be nearly impossible. But the news gets much worse than that. Thirdly, if Christ had not come, no one would have atone for our sins, and we would still be under the law. Each of us sin often, and each time we do, it drives a wedge further between us and God. For what does light have to do with darkness? Imagine how difficult it would be if we were still living under the Old Testament law. How difficult it would be to learn to obey the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. The law is perfect, the Bible says, in helping a person identify what is sin, but was made weak by our sinful nature. In the Old Testament, forgiveness of sins was only granted by the shedding of the blood of pure animals at an acceptable location, by an acceptable method, and done by a priest. In the New Testament, the remedy for sin is through the Son's once and for all sacrifice on the cross. When I think about all the times that I have sinned in my life, I must confess that there are not enough bulls, goats, lambs, doves, or pigeons to cover how far I have fallen short of the glory of God. If Christ had not come, the promise of God would be unfulfilled. The world today would still be in darkness. We would not know that God is love. There would be no gospel to believe or to believe in. If Christ had not come, there would be no Christmas and there'd be no Easter. There'd be no hope beyond the grave. We would still be lost, for there would be no Savior for our sins. If Christ had not come, there would be no good news to preach. Truly, if Christ had not come, we would be far more distant from God, because our sins would be forever before us. Fourthly, if he who is the chief cornerstone had not come to give his life as a ransom for many, the church would not exist today. If Christ had not come, no great hymns, no choruses, no gospel songs, no Christian radio, no Christian TV, no Christian books, no Christian magazines, no Christian music of any kind, no Christmas Eve services or candlelight services, for there would be no Christmases to celebrate. If Christ had not come, there would be no Maranatha Community Church. In fact, there'd be no churches anywhere, no worship, no service in the community, no sermon, because we have nothing to preach. If Christ had not come, then all the churches and their good works would be erased from the earth. Finally, if the Messiah had not come, our society would be worse off. Even though we live in a fallen world that hates the light, this does not mean that our cups of cold water offered in love don't have a profound effect on society around us. One of the reasons why the early church grew so in the book of Acts was their overwhelming generosity to look after the poor, the widows, and the orphans. In modern times, think of how Mother Teresa helped the poor in India. Think of all the cups of cold water that Christian charities like World Vision and Salvation Army and Samaritan's Purse and Compassion International have offered the poor of this world. This is not to say that non-believers cannot be good givers too, but their cups of cold water point to temporary fixes for physical problems, whereas believers' cups of cold water point to the mercy of Christ who can heal their souls for all of eternity. Also, if the Messiah had not come, our society would be less kind towards the rights of everyone, considering the foundation of many of society's laws, especially in this country, are based on the Bible. Christians are the ones that started the first orphanages, started the first rescue shelters, started the first halfway houses. And were not many of our first universities and hospitals started by Christians? If Messiah had not come, then yes, I do believe the society would be worse off than we are today. But praise be to God that our discussion on the five major things we would lose if Christmas had not happened is merely a hypothetical discussion. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of it. As we conclude this morning, I want to tell you a very significant event for the world took place just 2 weeks ago. At 6:31 a.m. on Tuesday, December 8th, the very first government-approved dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, in the free world at least, was administered. A nurse rolled up the sleeves of a 90-year-old retired shopkeeper from Ireland by the name of Maggie Keenan and gave her the first shot of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine at University Hospital Coventry in England. Asked for her reaction, Keenan replied that she was encouraging everyone to go for it because it's the best news everywhere. Now, perhaps we can forgive her for a little exaggeration. After all, COVID-19 has killed 1.5 million people in 2020. It's changed the lives of nearly every person on the planet. But let's think a little more carefully about what she said. Is it really the best news ever that there's a vaccine that'll prevent people from potentially dying somewhat prematurely, a few years earlier, perhaps? There have been literally dozens of recorded plagues in our history. The current plague we're facing tends to cause us to forget that there's still another, even greater plague, more universal plague. It's called death. And it's really strange at this time of the year, in this Christmas season, when we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that a vaccine that temporarily puts off death should begin to overshadow, in some respect, the real best news ever. That is, there is essentially a vaccine against death, a Savior which has been born, who saves us from our sins and death. And the truth is, Christ chose to empty himself on the glory he had in heaven, to be born of a virgin with a human and divine nature. We need to celebrate the truth that the shepherds visited the babe, and several years later, the wise men came and gave their king gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let me finish this morning with the concern I started with. Yes, there was a great outbreak of infected people in the last month, and the government has responded, as we might imagine, by severely limiting gatherings at Christmas time. While this was threatening our traditions of families coming together and sharing hugs and kisses, again, those large buffets of turkey and potatoes and casseroles and salads, and yes, again, dessert, it cannot and must not change. Our tradition of remembering and shouting from the mountaintops the truth of the babe lying in the manger that came to save the world from their sins. Yes, Christmas is almost here, just a matter of a few days. And regardless of possibly losing some very precious traditions, regardless of the restrictions that might be placed on this week due to coronavirus, may we on Jesus' birthday bow our knees to our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And even if we're to even just be one or two in our households into this coming year, may we continue to offer cups of cold water by sending out to the widow, the poor, the oppressed, and those going through crushing tribulations right now, sending out money and food and telephone calls and emails and texts of love and support. May we continue in that no matter what COVID brings. And because this world around us is dying in its sin, may we not cower in our homes in the midst of restrictions placed on us, but instead, as his ambassadors and royal priest, may we get on our knees in our bedrooms, in our kitchens, in our family rooms, and send out our prayers that Christ will open their eyes, that they will see, their minds, that they might understand, their hearts, so they might embrace the truth this Christmas, that they too can become as we are, redeemed masterpieces of God's grace, forever adopted into his family as his own. This Christmas, may we never stop telling a dying world of the only vaccine that can truly save their very souls, the babe lying in a manger who came to take away their sins. This Christmas, let us not forget that Jesus healed the blind, multiplied the fish and the loaves, cast out demons, healed the lepers and the invalids, raised the dead and calmed the storms, for he is truly the Son of God. And above all, this Christmas, may it remind us to celebrate that the sinless Lamb of God chose to obey the Father and atone for our sins upon the cross, because he dearly loves everyone, his own and his enemies. Listen to the words of the angel and think what it means for us today. Luke 2, 10 to 11 says, "But the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" Let us pray.